It was the mid-80s, and I had just dropped out of college, so I needed a job really badly. So I was looking through the Sun paper one day, and I see an ad for a video editor, $300 per week, and that was really good money back in those days. It said, apply in person, 400 East Baltimore Street. So I'm like, cool, I need this job. So I put on my tie and my shirt, you know, look real good. And I head downtown, and I'm walking along looking at the address, and I'm looking up at the place, and I'm looking back down at the address. And I'm on the corner of East Baltimore and Commerce Street. And there are silhouettes of naked ladies and stuff. So I'm like, but yeah, hey, money sounds good. So I walk in, and there are display cases of sex toys, anatomically correct sex toys. And there are racks of porno magazines and porno VHS tapes. And there's a guy with a mop, mopping the floor. And it's like this cherry-scented bleach. I was to become good friends with this guy, but that's jumping ahead a little bit. So I say, hey, I'm here to apply for the video editor job. So he's like, let me call the manager. So he calls the manager, and the manager comes out, and the manager's name is Gary, and Gary is scary. I mean, he looks like a normal guy until you get up close to him, and you see his pupils are like this big. They're like the size of pie plates, and they're like Charles Manson pupils. I mean, they're like sociopath pupils. And he's like, oh, come on, follow me, Mike. So we walk through the place, and we walk past these rows of peep show booths. And we get to this door, and the door has a little electronic lock. And Gary's going, do-do-do-do, on the electronic lock. And I had never seen one of these things before. I mean, it's the 80s, you know, maybe in a James Bond movie or something. You see one of these locks. And all of a sudden, this fear descends over me. I'm like, this is how they get people in snuff films. They lure you in with money. And I'm thinking, did I tell my roommate where I'm going? No one knows where I am, you know? And they're going to take me down in a dungeon, tie me up, torture me, film it, and then throw pieces of my body in the harbor. So, you know, I'm freaking out, sweating, and Gary opens the door, and we go down the stairs, and it's like, you know, it's the stairs go really down deep below the block. I mean, we're going into the bowels of the block. And we get down there, and it's not a dungeon at all. It's like this big office complex. I mean, like nicely dressed women with headsets on the phone, you know, with these little primitive computers, and they're selling porn videotapes on the phone and stuff. Like, wow, this is not what I expected at all. So Gary walks back, and he says, hey, we got to go take you to meet my father, Sam Greenberg. And I find out Sam Greenberg owns like half the block, but I didn't find that out until later. So I go in Sam's office, and it's like, it looks like Mrs. Robinson's house from The Graduate. There's like animal skin rugs on the floor, these like crazy ass, you know, paintings you see in a hotel on the wall, horrible prints and plants and stuff. And Sam sitting there behind the desk, he's about this tall, and he's got this toupee, this crazy ass toupee. It's like a poodle, like a curly white poodle wig on. And he says, well, we don't need the video editor anymore. We just hired one, but we do need a paste up artist. Can you do paste up? And I said, yeah, sure, I could do paste up. I mean, I've always considered myself like an artistic, creative guy. I can do paste up. So he says, so start tomorrow. So I show up the next day, and my office is down in the bowels of the block. And I'm in this room. Everybody's smoking like crazy, you know, always smoking. And I'm sitting next to the video editor guys. And the video editor guys have these, like, you know, decks for video editing and just screen after screen of pornography. I mean, there's like flesh slapping, there's like squirting stuff everywhere, there's moaning and groaning and orifices, you know, getting, oh, I mean, it was just constant pornography. But my job worked like this. Every morning I would get a list of titles of movies that were going in the peep show booths, right? And actually, I had to write these down because I can't remember these. They're so crazy. A couple I remembered were Asian Shemale Sex Party, Three-Way Fist Fantasy, and my favorite, Hot Poppin' Mamas. That was for the pregnancy fetishist. So, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. You weren't there. I was there. So I get this list of titles of these films, and they have a little description underneath about, like, the action of the film. So let's say, in this case, it's like Black Man, Asian Woman, Bondage, okay? So what I do, I look at the description, I go to this massive bank of file cabinets, meticulously indexed file cabinets, right? It's like, you know, it's like a what do you call that? The there's an there's a filing system they use in the Library of Congress or something. It's like that, but it's like for perversion, right? Yeah, thank you. So I'm going through, you know, I'm going through these files, and it's like black man, black woman, black man, white woman, black man, Asian woman. Okay, so then I narrow it down. Black man, Asian woman, anal. Black man, Asian woman, oral. Black man, Asian woman, bondage. So I pull out the folder, and there's pictures in there from like porno magazines and stuff. So I take these pictures, I take them back to my little desk, and I cut out the pictures, like the money shots, like the body parts, the penises, the vaginas, and I paste them on these square fluorescent cardstock, okay? And that's where the art comes in, you know? Pasting these things. So I got the title, and I got the penis and the vagina, you know, whatever. And I'm putting them on these cards, and essentially, these cards are like billboards that go in the peep show booth doors to get guys to come in and pay their quarters to whack off to this stuff. That's my job, okay? I didn't tell my mom about this. Actually, I think I did, but she put it out of her mind. So anyway, so, you know, I'm working there for a few days, getting into the hang of things. And the night, you know, I go out one night, and time went on, I get really loaded, and I wake up late, and I'm like, shit, man, Gary's gonna fucking kill me, you know? So I don't have time to get a shower, what am I gonna do? My hair is sticking in all kinds of directions, so I put a baseball cap on, and I went to work, and I'm sitting there, and you're cutting my stuff out, and Gary walks by, and he's glaring at me. Oh, man, he's just staring at me with those evil Charles Manson eyes. And he goes, Mike, can I see you for a second? So I get up, I walk over, I'm shaking. He says, Mike, I don't ever want to see you wear a baseball cap to this job again. That is unprofessional! Sorry, Gary. So I go back, and, you know, so... So the next day, man, I show up to work. I am clean. I smell good. My hair is combed. I'm dressed nice. And sure enough, Gary makes his rounds, and he's walking by. And I'm like, oh, God, here comes Gary. You know, cutting. I'm shaking. I'm cutting this penis out. I'm afraid I'm going to castrate it. I'm so nervous. And Gary comes by, and he's kind of leaning over me. I could smell his breath. And he's there, and I turn around and look at him, and he's smiling. I mean, I never saw Gary smile. And I think he's like, he's trying to make up to me for being such a jerk the day before. And he said something to me that I will never, ever forget for as long as I live. He looked at me and said, hey, Mike, by the way, nice job on big black dicks. Thanks, Gary. Thanks. So... You know, I thought after that things would get better with Gary. So a week later, he asked me to decorate the sex toy case. And Valentine's Day is coming up, so he's like, give it like a Valentine's Day theme or something. So, you know, I find these old decorations, Cupids and stuff. And so, you know, I'm like, well, I'll take the Cupid, and I'll make the Cupid, instead of shooting an arrow, he'll be shooting a little penis, you know? And instead of a heart, we'll make the hearts kind of like vaginas, you know? So I do this really nice job, decorate the case. I mean, I'm really proud of myself, and Gary comes up. The hell is that? That's awful. That's terrible. Take it all down. We'll get somebody that has some talent the next time. Crushed me, let me say. So, you know, I'm kind of getting fed up with the porn, like the slap, slap, slap of flesh constantly in my face and the noises and stuff. So I'm really close to quitting, but the $300 a week, man, that is just tasty. I mean, they give it to me in a little pay envelope, cash, you know. It's hard to give up that kind of thing. But I'm getting really close to giving it up, and one day I'm walking along. I'm doing my rounds, changing the cards in the booths, you know, and I open up this door. And my foot slides. Yeah. And I look down, and I'm like, oh, man, the mop guy must have missed that spot. So I'm like, that's it. This is it. I go downstairs. I pack up my stuff. You know, I go upstairs. I tell the mop guy, tell Gary I'm out of here, man. I'm quitting. I'm never coming back here again. Get in my car, take off my shoes, and leave them by the side of the road. You know, and... All these years, I've been kind of afraid of running into Gary and stuff like that. You know, he's like this monster in my mind that I've built up, magnified. But I realized that Gary gave me a gift. Gary really gave me a gift. And that gift is a story. And he gave me a line. And that it's a compliment that I hope I never, ever get again. And you know what that compliment is. Nice job on Big Black Dicks. Thank you all very much. Thank you.